to everybody who is joining us online as well. Thank you for joining us. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we oftentimes will see on Christian artwork or on t-shirts or on mugs or we'll see it online too, on social media, faith over fear, Lord. Father, we pray that this will not be merely just a cliche, Lord, but that as your people, filled with your wisdom and a knowledge of who your Son is, that we could move forward in faith, putting rightly between our fear and our trust in you above all things. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Well, yeah, obviously my secret is out now. I expect that when I walk into my office that somebody like Keith or maybe even our blessed congregational president will put a big fake plastic spider on my desk or something like that now when I walk into it. I know you guys, you know. I know that we've done out of love, but I mean, seriously, I'm in second grade in Mrs. Donovan and Mrs. McGlynn's class at Elizabeth Lenz Elementary School. And we had a month where our science, for an entire month, was learning about spiders. And my wonderful teachers had one of my fellow students who had a pet tarantula bring their tarantula and put it on top of a cabinet by one of the desks. And on the other side of the classroom, one of the teachers who captured a black widow spider had it in a jar with little holes poked through the beginning, or poked through the lid. And so there I was in second grade, surrounded by spiders, and was told, do not touch. Well, yeah, not a problem here, all right? And yes, they move along so quickly and whatever, and it's my one of my all-time favorite scenes in all the movies that I've watched. How many of you have read the book Lord of the Rings, have read Lord of the Rings, or have seen the movies? Yeah, when the little hobbit Sam goes up against that big giant spider and kills it, that's what I feel like when I kill a black widow. Yes, I kill the big giant spider, yes. We all have our fears, right? Some might be more logical and reasonable than others. But we have to admit, too, that fear does sometimes play an important role. Yes, you can kind of look at words that are synonymous. Maybe caution is a little bit different than fear. And so maybe sometimes being cautious is wise. But maybe there's times where we're so afraid and paralyzed to move that we actually need to act. And when we don't act, that fear can become cowardice, right? And who wants to be labeled a coward? And so sometimes we act, not because we're brave, but because we're in fear of being called a coward. Whatever the reason that we have fear, there is a purpose. And probably part of that is we are in a broken world. And there are dangerous things. I wouldn't want any of the kids here to go capture a black widow and dump it on an anthill and see who wins. That's not smart. When my family went on a hike up on the mountains around Exeter, we went up to Sequoia National Park. The family that we were hiking with, we saw a rattlesnake out in the open. And it was crawling on one end of the trail, and we all just cautiously walked on the other end of the trail opposite of it. So you had its side, we had our side. It was a smart thing to do, right? Why mess with it? That's called wisdom, right? And yet, when do we need to be able to move forward?
When does fear paralyze us? And what does God have to do when it comes to that fear of who we are? Are we good enough? Does God love me? Is God with me? Is God for me? Am I enough? Am I afraid that I'm just going to fail all the time? Am I afraid that God can't forgive my sins? Am I afraid of the future? Do I doubt God's provision for me? Maybe my family? Those are all things that run through our minds. Maybe the surgery's coming up. I fear what's going to happen if the worst should happen when I have my surgery. What happens to my loved ones if it doesn't work out? Or a diagnosis. What happens if I do have cancer or heart failure or something like that? Fear is a real thing. And then there's Jesus. Jesus takes three of his disciples up on top of a mountain with him. And there he is transfigured, meaning he is displaying the glory of God around him, shining brighter than bright. Probably words can't describe how bright it is. And yet, in that bright light, in that moment, two figures are meant to be seen around Jesus, Elijah and Moses. And the disciples see this. So, what can we gather from the text so far when we see his Jesus' face shining like the sun and his clothes becoming white as light? Well, Jesus isn't an ordinary man. There's something different about him. That's a very basic thing that we can pull from this. But then Moses and Elijah are there. Who are Moses and Elijah, right? Well, Moses, that's the guy who spoke to God at the burning bush. That's the guy who God performed all these miracles through when the people were set free from Egypt, when God's people were set free from Egypt. That was the guy that held the staff over the Red Sea, and the seas parted, and they walked through. And he's there with this Jesus guy who's shining bright. What about this Elijah guy? Oh yeah, he's the guy who encountered the prophets of Baal when the king and queen of Israel said that worshiping the one true God was illegal, that everybody had to worship but Baal. And Elijah was able to get the whole countryside to come out. The prophets of Baal built their altar, and he himself built an altar to God, and it was to all say, well, if you pray enough to Baal, let's see if he lights your altar on fire. And I'll pray to the one true God, is what Elijah said. And we'll see if he lights my altar on fire. And the prophets of Baal were crying out, singing, dancing. They even began cutting themselves. Cutting themselves, drawing their own blood. But their altar's not lighting on fire. Oh, and Elijah, being a little bit snarky, right? And I guess there's a time and place to be a little snarky, but be careful with that. Elijah says, perhaps your gods are using the bathroom right now. They're relieving themselves. Maybe that's why they're busy. Keep going for a little while longer. But Elijah, he takes water, and he has it poured all over his altar. How many of you have ever been camping before? How does water work as a lighter fluid? And Elijah prays, and the altar and the sacrifice on the altar is instantly consumed in flame. Elijah didn't suffer an ordinary death. He was taken to heaven on a chariot of fire. Moses and Elijah are seen as two of the greatest prophets that Israel ever had. And so, here is Jesus being associated with these two. And so it's the God that Moses served and the God that Elijah served, that is the very God that Jesus serves. The other thing, too, that's important to note here, too, is that it's been almost 8 centuries since Elijah was taken up to heaven in a chariot of fire. And yet he's able to show up and we can recognize him. So here's some great news. With this guy, Jesus, who's standing there, there's eternal life. Not only is there eternal life, but we're going to be able to recognize people in the kingdom of heaven. So your loved ones who believed in Christ and have died, you're going to see them again. And you're going to be able to recognize them. They're going to be able to recognize you. Isn't that wonderful? Doesn't that help take away the sting of death? And then the story goes back and shifts back to the disciples, especially Peter, who's the spokesperson. And we can try to analyze what is going on in Peter's head all we want. We can say he wanted to be important, or he really was just moved by this moment. It doesn't matter what was going on in his mind. The point is, Peter says to God, it is good to be here. Or he says to Jesus, it's good to be here. And yeah, I would have loved to have been there. How many of you would have loved to see Jesus transfigured and to see Moses and Elijah? That would be a good place to be at, right? So yeah, it's good to be there. I don't think Peter is at all sinning by putting up, this is a good place to be here. And you know what? I like this place so much that I want to stay here. Lord, let me build some tents for you guys so you can stay here and we can just live in this glorious moment. But before Peter finishes speaking, clouds veil over their eyes and they hear the voice of God saying, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. And they trembled with fear. Now, we could go into why they would tremble with fear. Part of that issue is that when we encounter God, or when God is encountered at all throughout the scripture, when someone encounters him, they all tremble with fear. When the disciples were in the boat, and Jesus was asleep in the boat, and the wind and the waves and the storm was overhead, and they felt like they were about to sink, they were afraid of dying. Then Jesus gets up and he calms the storm. And the scripture says they feared even more. Part of this is that when we fear God, we should fear God because he's awesome and he's full of glorious power. And perhaps that word awesome, we use that way too much. Did you see the game last night? That finish was awesome. Maybe it was incredible. Maybe it was amazing to watch. Maybe it was spectacular. But awesome, that means that you're falling down in fear and awe of what you're seeing. Because God is awesome. Also, why do we need Jesus to come down in the first place? Because without him, we are not holy before God. And God is holy. And so we can't even be in God's presence without dying. And that's why we need Jesus. That's why it was such a special moment when the people in Exodus chapter 24, which was read for us today, It was such a special moment that they were in the presence of God. Not the, but yet there was, it wasn't quite the full presence yet, but it was an awesome moment. Because they got to see kind of the crystal lake that is described around the throne of God, right? God is awesome, and we need Him. And so there's that fear. And there is something smart about having the fear of the Lord. Some people are like, well, I don't think that I have to fear God because He loves me. But honestly, there does come a place to fear the Lord, right? How many of you have been asked by your parents before they, when you were growing up? They said, by the time I get home, I want X, Y, and Z done. And if it isn't done, you're going to be in trouble. And well, you start to kind of play around a little bit, and then you realize, oh no, my parents are going to be home in a half an hour. And then you panic, and you rush through, and you try to get everything done because you don't want to get that SWAT, or you don't want to be told, you don't want to be put in timeout, or whatever. You don't want ever punishment to come to them, because you know that while your parents love you and you love your parents, you know that there is discipline, right? God does discipline those He loves. And sometimes the discipline isn't fun. But also, I know too, one of the reasons why I don't have a YouTube podcast where I talk about everything that is wrong with the church, because I'm sure I can make a bunch of money by people hearing about how awful the church is. But one of the reasons why I don't do that, obviously, is I fear God. And I don't want to do that either, right? Because I love God, and I love the church. I love His people. I am part of that. But I would never want to leave this or preach falsely, because I know what happens to false teachers. The scriptures say they get judged harshly. I have great accountability to God as a pastor. If I preach falsely, do not preach the truth, there is probably a special circle in hell that is reserved for me. So fear does have its place. And yet, that is what is so glorious about this story, is as the disciples tremble in fear, Jesus comes to them. They look up and they see only Him. And He tells them to rise up and do not be afraid. While I want to have a holy reverence for God, and while I want you to all have that holy reverence of God, I also want you to rejoice that the Son of God is here. He is Emmanuel. And He is revealed in this, in the person and the character of God is totally and completely revealed through this man, Jesus. We see that in the Transfiguration. We hear that story of the disciples quaking with fear and then being told, do not be afraid. Here He is, the continuation of God's story. Elijah and Moses standing around Him saying, this is the guy. This is who it was all about. And then the disciples who had wonderful ideas and a wonderful will of what should be done there. And yet they're told by God the Father, this is my Son. Listen to Him. That guy, Jesus, we also know Him as Emmanuel, God with us. And if He is with you, no one can stand against you. This Jesus knows all of your sins. He knows everything that you've done wrong. He knows all your fears. He knows all your failures. And yet, on that cross where He shed His blood, His blood covers you just the same. And He forgives you and He loves you just the same. He knows every ugly skeleton he has in your closet. And he loves you just the same. He goes into the depths of your hearts and opens up the ugly things to clean them out. It isn't always fun, but he's there and he's doing it because he loves you. And he's working to make you a new creation. There is the lies of the devil. There is the stress of the world. There is the fear of, have we done enough? And yet, the answer is, Jesus has done everything necessary. Jesus has done everything we need. We are not defined by the things that we get done. We are not defined by the things that we do. We are defined by Jesus, who shed his blood on the cross for me, and he shed the blood on the cross for you. And he rose again. And just as he rose again, we will rise too, because we have all been baptized into his death and his resurrection. And so, not only are we citizens of California and citizens of the United States of America, but we have a greater citizenship in God's kingdom. Not only are you children of whoever your parents were who brought you into this world, but you are children of the one true God. And if he is with you, who can stand against you? Sure, there is wisdom in a time to be cautious. There are times to be bold. All those should be measured by going to our Lord Jesus in prayer and asking for his wisdom and his strength to God, to guide us, for his will to be done. Because Christ does love each and every one of you. And he does know what is best for us. And he doesn't promise that he's not going to take us through dangerous places in this world. He's not going to promise that we're going to be comfortable all the time. But he does say that I am with you to the end of this age. So Jesus gives you eternal life, which we can take comfort in. But while he might not give you all the comfort that you could desire in this world, he certainly does promise you an adventure, one in which he is with you always. Amen? May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds, and keep them from now until life everlasting.
Amen.